What's up, everybody? It's LG Doucette here. Today is Wednesday, June 9th, 2021. Welcome to the First Minute, a podcast where I talk about big sales, marketplace trends, and everything going on in NBA Top Shot, sometimes other NFTs as well. This is a pretty straightforward episode. We have an interview with the infamous Girl Dad. He is Top Shot famous on Twitter. He hands out some, tips on things like floor smashing and whatever, and not everybody's a fan, but some people are big fans. He is, I guess, a prominent member of the community, and we recorded this podcast, I think, like 2 or 3 weeks ago, maybe longer, to talk about how to approach your picking your favorite set on Top Shot. Pretty much just some general tips on how to build your collection for the long term. I talked about some of that on the podcast last time in terms of the sets that I was completing, and you're going to hear me and Girl Dad today talk about how he approaches it and what he would recommend. Little caveat, he does come from the investment financial advice background, so he very much looks at Top Shot, it's clear, as a market. So keep that in mind as we go into this episode. And before we kick off, just a quick little programming note. You know, I give these every couple weeks. From now on, our Wednesday episodes are mainly going to be just a straight-up interview. I won't be giving as much heads up on what's new in Top Shot in the last couple days. The goal for that is for these Wednesday pods to be a little bit more evergreen so people can listen to them a little down the line, but not be, you know, flooded with totally out-of-date info. The Monday pods will always be, you know, kind of like a hot topic in Top Shot that week, some of the stuff that I'm up to, as well as what to look forward to. And then, of course, the Thursday night live show will always be the party that it is with me, the Real Phil D, and our guests. I want to remind everybody here that nothing on the show constitutes trading advice in any way, and that the show is not affiliated with NBA Top Shot, the NBA, or Dapper Labs. I'm just a guy at his house who loves basketball and blockchain. This is the First Mint. Girl Dad, welcome to the First Mint. It's your debut.
Thank you so much for having me. Those are unnecessarily kind words. I appreciate the sentiment, and you know, I listen to your show. Really happy to be here.
Well, we're happy to have you. I mean, were you? I just kind of made up that inflammatory part on the spot. Is that? Do you feel that way sometimes with your tweets?
I feel that when you are anonymous online, sometimes you can be more yourself. You know, I like to call it as it is. I don't cross the line. Anything that I put on there, I expect to be thrown back in my face if it's wrong or, you know, incorrect or, you know, discriminatory or anyway. I feel like anything that I put out there on Twitter is the same as, you know, a record on the blockchain. It's public, it's transparent, as it should be.
That's fair. I like that. Well, I feel like I'm a big fan of your tweets, and we're going to dig into those in a little bit on the show. But like every guest who comes on the show, I got to ask you the origin story. How did you find out about Top Shot? What were you doing? And honestly, what did you think at first?
So contrary to some popular beliefs, I am not an early adopter in terms of being able to snag S1 packs or anything like that. I found out about Top Shot in mid-January from a good real-life friend of mine. He goes by the name Boonock on Top Shot. He sent me an article. After I saw his article, I signed up and bought a few moments and really kind of got hooked on the gamification of the platform. And it really kind of felt like the first time I understood a use case for the blockchain. You know, after I started buying a few moments, then I came across Jonathan Bales's article regarding buying Cosmic Jaw number one. I'm sure that was a lot of, early mid-January people's exposure as well. So, you know, hat tip to Bales on that one. And then once I saw that, you know, he basically had me flipping couch cushions to try to deposit money into Top Shot. So that was my exposure. Early mid-January, I signed up, started buying moments. I bought the heck out of that late January dip, and the rest has just kind of come naturally.
Were you and are you a big NBA fan?
Actually, I was not a huge NBA fan. I'm a huge sports fan in general, so my background is in baseball, but I've also, I also follow the NFL very heavily, probably my heaviest DFS sport slash fandom. I was a casual NBA fan. I would play a little NBA DFS. I'd watch the playoffs, but nowhere near the level of engagement that Top Shot has led me to. I'm engaging almost daily with NBA due to Top Shot.
Do you have a team? Is there a team that you subscribe to or that you're a fan of?
I'm a Bay Area sports fan, so Kings, Warriors definitely are my two favorites. I'd have to shout out De'Aaron Fox as my favorite Kings player. And then Steph Curry, you can't go wrong with Steph Curry with the Warriors. You can't be a Warriors fan and not say the word Steph Curry, so.
So that answers my next question, which is like, who's your favorite player? But that's a common and that's a really good answer. Have you stacked up? Have you stacked on Steph or De'Aaron Fox?
I actually have two of his S1 NGLEs. I bought one right before the last run-up, and I bought another one maybe a couple weeks ago, hoping to flip into the playoff. And any playoff hype, when I like to buy moments to flip, they're usually moments that I don't mind getting quote unquote stuck with. So I'm holding it, and if it happens this playoffs, great. If he puts up 60 tonight, even better. No, I don't usually stack too many players, maybe a couple from here or there, but fairly diversified.
What's your current, I mean, I love your tweets because you're one of the people who is really vocal about moments that you love, and whether people see that as shameless shilling or not. I do admire that. I do love that you're very vocal about which sets and everything that you like. What currently would you say is your most prized moment on Top Shot?
Oh, it has to be Run It Back Durant. That moment is just, if you're listening to this and you've seen my tweets, you've definitely come across a Run It Back Durant tweet. It's the most scarce first moment Top Shot debut of any megastar on the platform by a lot. It's about 15% of the circulation as LeBron or Curry or any of the other active superstars. So definitely Durant.
And what is there a moment that you consider to be elusive that you wish you could get and you've been kind of circling or waiting for it to dip or waiting to get the right trade for it?
Yes, actually, not at the moment, but a few months ago. I don't remember even when we did this, but I spent hours, days, negotiating with Raster Eyes, is his username, to try to get the NGLE LeBron. And we ended up working out a deal where it was a 9-for-1 trade. I gave him 9 different moments, and I got the LeBron. So I'm going to call that elusive, even though I ended up securing it. But that was a lot of work.
Oh man, good
Worth
for you.
it.
What
Worth
did
it
you
though.
what was the hardest thing you gave up in those 9 moments?
Probably the one that sticks out is a from the top Westbrook dunk. At the time, it was real sticky, and that was the last thing we couldn't really agree on price too well. And I ended up giving it to him for cheaper than I wanted, but I just needed to secure that LeBron.
Is this negotiating with like internet strangers? Is that like a new thing for you?
Yes, I would say it is. I mean, I really only got active on Twitter in January, February of this year due to Top Shot, and I had never even heard of Discord until January. So yeah, it is new, but it's a tremendous. I mean, Top Shot has opened so many connections, and I feel like I could honestly go anywhere in the world and find somebody through Discord or Twitter that we could connect with. And that's extremely valuable.
Yeah, I totally agree. One of the terms that you bring up often is floor smashing. Now we're going to get into some investment questions. What is floor smashing?
Floor smashing is the most fun thing you can do on NBA Top Shot. Floor smashing. First off, I wanna give credit to the term to Michael Levy. He, I was talking to him one time about it, and he used the phrase floor smashing, and I just thought that was perfect. So, floor smashing is where the floor price on a moment is substantially lower than the rest of the listings. So, a good example that I keep running into is NGLE Harden. So his Top Shot debut NGLE moment, I think right now it's sitting at maybe $7,000, and there's not much room between that and 15 to 20,000. So, in a market that's bleeding like Topshot is right now, it's not quite as, fruitful or instant gratification that it is when it's in an up run. But, if you can buy one or two of the floors or work together with other people to buy one or two of the floor moments and raise that new floor, behavioral biases in people and investors will, they're not going to go, if the floor now becomes 20,000, they're not going to go list it at 8. They might list it at 16 or 17, and no, you might not get a bite. You might not get a sale on that at that point in time, but you've created a new floor. You've stepped up the stairs to the next level, and you can enjoy the paper gain by looking at moment ranks. And there have been cases where people have bought that next low ask that comes in up at that upper level.
Yeah, I agree with you. I feel like back in series one, I did that a few times, but I don't think I've done it lately. Probably because kind of what you're saying, we're in a bit of a down cycle, but I do like that practice. How do you visualize this market when you're approaching it? Like, does it compare to something like stock market or the ETH market or the crypto market? Or how did you figure that kind of stuff out, and how do you visualize all this?
I view the Topshot market as a very young, inexperienced marketplace where it's a combination of collecting, and when I say collecting, obviously it's collecting, but it's the parallels that can be drawn to physical cards, to Pokemon, to lots of other historical collectibles. I think Topshot will follow the same path. So there's kind of a guide there, and that's why my pinned tweet on Twitter is my guide to Topshot. Find the superstars because those are the ones that will be valuable in 5 years if Topshot, succeeds, which we all, I definitely think it will. Then after you find that superstar or set of superstars that you think are best, let's call it the top 20 to 30 players, active and retired. Then the next step in the process is go to the Topshot debut. That seems to be the most controversial point that I seem to be one of the few that are saying that that's the next step in the process. And that's because, everybody wants the first edition Pokemon. Everybody wants the, Jordan rookie card. Everybody wants the first moment. Well, maybe not now, but when traditional collectors, when the real whales come, they're going to seek out those moments. They're going to go to LeBron, Holo, and Cosmic. That's what they're going to do. And when they can't afford those, they're going to go to LeBron and GLE, or they're going to go to Luka Cosmic. It's that combination of superstar and early rare. The tier is the next part after the TS debut. That's important to me. So back to your question about the market, it's both. It's this collectible path that has been proven out in other spaces, but it's also a marketplace. My background is investment management. I've been doing it for a long time, and this marketplace is exactly that. It suffers from the same behavioral biases that any market, between human beings suffers from. So, if somebody sees, that they bought a moment for $5,000 and it's now, half of that, then they're going to think, I don't know, maybe let's just cut this part. But
Tell us. No, we need to know, man. They're going to freak out. That's what you're going to say.
They freak out, they price anchor, they think that there's no way this thing's going to change. And with the advent, with the benefit, as many benefits as moment ranks and places like that offer, they also drive people to looking at their account values, which creates panic and a downward spiral. It is a lot like the ETH sell-off. A lot of that is probably technical, but a lot of that is fear as well, and triggering of stops going down, which we don't have that yet in Topshop, but all the people that were selling and panic selling and they see this path that the prices are on and they just can't help but think it's going to go to zero. Well, it's not. It's not going to go to zero. This stuff is here for a reason. Roham and the Dapper team, you don't build a $7.5 billion company with investors the high profile investors that they have by building something that's going to go to zero. So take that aside. And it's times like these when the last 2 to 4 weeks, I've been very active buying, repositioning my collection, trying to get it in a place where whenever that next bull run comes, whether it's the playoffs, whether it's next season, whether it's 2 years from now, that I'm in a position to take advantage of those two things, the collectible comp, the collectible anecdotes of other collectible markets, and this is a human marketplace. So there's going to be behavioral biases that you can take advantage of.
There was another big bull run. What's the last thing you'd sell?
That MGLE LeBron or Durant.
Do you, Girl Dad, do you, you know, I saw this thing for crypto a while back that was like the fear to greed index. Do you think that we would benefit from having that in Top Shot? Like, do you think we need some kind of like gauge that, I don't know, like Moment Ranks or Evaluate or somebody like that could put up on their site that's like, all right, here's the current sentiment of the market?
I think that's a fantastic idea. In my investment management career, sentiment is clearly an important factor. And I don't see how that would be any different in the Top Shot marketplace. I think that's a really good idea. No, Moment Ranks, let's do it.
Yeah, it's a free, it's a free one for whoever's listening, if they're listening.
Right.
okay. I did want to talk to you because, again, you know, thank you for sharing that perspective. And I think it's very valuable to kind of have your financial background to kind of hear, you know, what we all think that obviously when another bull market comes for Top Shot, that those higher value assets will go first. And also that, you know, like any other market, it's being built for there to be multiple bull runs and bear runs and all that kind of stuff. One thing that I do love that you talk about, like I was saying, is you shamelessly talk about the sets and the moments that you like. And I wanted to bring you on the show to talk about how, not just how you kind of ended up gravitating towards clearly the Run It Back set, but also the metallic gold set, which you're clearly a fan of. I also want to talk about how people, you know, who are new to Top Shot and maybe aren't coming from a financial standpoint and also, you know, maybe aren't coming on to make money, they're just looking to collect, how they can go about picking their set that they love and that they believe in and that they want to invest in. So maybe we can start with, just tell me, like, you know, why did you gravitate towards the Run It Back set so much initially?
Those definitely are my two favorite, let's call them accessible sets. You know, I'd love to own all the holos, but that's just not possible right now. So, you know, I'll start with the MGLE. So Top Shot clearly has core sets. Now that we're in series two, it's becoming more clear that the base MGLE holo sets are the core sets. They've made mention of things like Seeing Stars perhaps be a core set. I think it's clear that Run It Back is a core set. And so I try to focus in those core sets because it's such a big risk to me to venture off into the, I'll call them insert sets, right? The rookie debut set, or, you know, any of these other kind of one-off sets. Frankly, when I'm looking on the marketplace, I don't even filter for those sets. So there's probably a group of collectors that, like, you could, if there could be the best deal ever on, you know, MPJ's rookie debut moment, and I'm not going to look at it because I don't really care to own that moment. For new folks, I would suggest that you try to stick to the core set, but it's also important that you buy what you like. So I know it's a cliche, but buy what you enjoy. If you're going to buy LaMelo's Top Shot debut rookie moment and you're not comfortable with it going down 60%, then you shouldn't buy it. You should collect these because you enjoy them, and there is also an opportunity to make money from them. So that's what I would say. You know, buy what you like. If you are an Orlando Magic fan and you don't care how much your moments go down, buy all of them. Buy whatever you want to buy. But for the most part, people want to make a little money here. Otherwise, you know, you're not going to put money into it. There's a balance. And I think actually the utility side of things will help flush out that idea with people. You know, if buying a Cole Anthony rookie card, rookie moment, is going to get you some type of access to him or the team or viewership of that team in that moment, you know, of that player, then by all means, that's the use case for buying those things. If you're buying it as, I'm not going to use the I word, if you're buying it for growth, then I suggest you stick to my process. Superstar, Top Shot debut, tier, then serial last. Because those are the ones that in 5 years, Nobody's going to care that you own the number three serial of the seventh bench player on the Orlando Magic. Nobody's going to, the market for that is virtually nothing. But if you own LeBron's Top Shot debut, I mean, good chance you're gonna see a good return.
How do you approach badges?
Top Shot debut. I don't. The only moments that I buy that are not Top Shot debut are some with extreme sentimental value. Let's call it LeBron's tribute dunk. Let's call it. Oh, that's really the only one I can think of off the top of my head, to be honest with you. I'm scrolling down my moment ranks here, and everything has a blue badge on it. Giannis's rookie badge in the run it back set. That's unique. Things like that. But badges, they made badges for a reason. It's the roadmap to long-term value on the site. They take all the guessing out of it.
Yeah, absolutely. Are there any sets right now? What sets do you avoid?
Non-core sets.
So like all of them.
I
Wait, what a
buy.
run it back's not a, is not a core set though.
Okay, you're right. I would say, so let's call it core sets. And I mean, maybe there could be an argument for run it back being a core set. If they're going to have an S1 run it back, and then they're going to do a run it back every year, I would call it a core set. Seen Stars is another set. Maybe that's a better example. The Seen Stars set. I like that set. That's actually the only set that I own every moment of because it follows my process. Go for Superstars first. What's in the Seen Stars set? Superstars. And they've also mentioned that they expect that they want to have that set hold value going forward, which indicates to me that it can be used for challenges like this. The quest challenge, I could see owning a complete set being a requirement at some point down the road for pack drops or for other benefits. So it's a smaller, more affordable set than a full base one set, S1 base set or something like that. I stick to the core sets or the sets that are going to recur, that I think are going to recur year after year.
What are your thoughts on another run it back set? Would you welcome that? And where does it end with run it back sets? Because I know you said you want to see some of the historical moments, but do you think that too many run it back sets could create, saturation?
I think that I would definitely welcome another run it back set. I'm very much looking forward to the next one that comes, whether it comes this summer or in, right after the finals or whenever they end up releasing it. Very much looking forward to that. You're going to have Top Shot debuts of Shaq, of these other legendary players that are going to be extremely sought after and valuable in the long run. I think I very much welcome another run it back set. It will actually, I think, draw attention and value to the rarity of the first set. To have 275 available moments of Dirk, of Ray Allen, of any of these guys that are in that kind of top tier of that set, if you get a 500 to 1,000 mint run it back two set, it's just going to shine the light on how rare these early moments are.
What do you think of Cool Cats?
I
Can be
think
honest.
Cool Cats was very unfortunately timed. The Master Challenge, I think it was very unfortunately timed. I think it was a really good idea, and I think it just got strung along with website, issues that they were trying to work through. There was a quite a bit of a delay between some of the drops and the early goings there. And frankly, to get a LaMelo third, at least third, I don't know, I guess it would be maybe fourth edition LaMelo, not his Top Shot debut, not necessarily a core set. I don't see why you would lock up that capital. I actually, one of my best sales was selling the Cool Cats Luka darn near the top. And I did go invest in a LaMelo Top Shot debut after the fact, so I overpaid for that. But it just seemed like there was, at the time, you were locking up anywhere from 20 to 40 grand for who knows how long, all for a chase of a low minted LaMelo in an insert set. It just didn't make any sense to me. So I think it's a good idea. I think they could implement something like this for a more core set and add some utility on top of it, and I think it could be valuable. But it's I don't look at the Cool Cats Master Challenge at all, even at these low, well, let's call them low prices. It's just not worth it to me. I'd
No.
rather go buy MGLE AD or Donovan Mitchell.
Yeah, for sure. Last question. You know, you're talking about superstars. Very important. We're on the cusp of the playoffs here. Who is the next superstar that is not currently a superstar?
Mm-hmm. That is a good question. It would be tough to know what people think are and are not superstars. I'll bring up
Donovan
Mitchell.
You tell me, man. You tell me. You're the one who put superstars in your pinned tweet there. So you tell me what's a superstar.
I would say Donovan Mitchell is an ideal candidate for that question. He is young, extremely talented, highly paid, clearly the future of that franchise, and they're one of the best teams in the NBA. You know, I think that's the type of player and moment profile that I'm looking for when I go by moments. I will say this, the one hollow moment that I have my eyes on and have for a while now is his moment, because it's that balance between, no, I can't afford a LeBron or Luka or any of those guys. I don't want Cody Zeller's hollow. No offense to Arsenic. I don't want to spend that money there. I just don't see the value in it. You know, somebody like Donovan Mitchell, somebody like De'Aaron Fox. I know he doesn't have a hollow moment, but those guys that are young, extremely talented, clearly the face of their franchise, and just haven't got that boost, that popularity boost yet, whether it's the market they're in. You know, Sacramento and Utah, they're not exactly, you know, LA and New York. That's Donovan Mitchell is the answer to that question.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, one thing I kind of look at is, you know, someone like Damian Lillard, right?
Yeah, who absolutely
has gone deep into the playoffs, and he's a little older now. Is, you know, getting, he's in the middle of his prime, end of his prime, but a lot of people consider him a superstar, and I would as well, because he's an absolute killer, mm-hmm. and you know, at any moment they can make a run on his back. And one thing I look at is like, yeah, it's really, you know, we don't know if there's another LeBron or another Steph in our midst right now, or another KD. It's not fair to say, like, I think, you know, Donovan Mitchell, he'll become the new Steph Curry. Like, I don't know if that's even possible, but I think one of these guys can definitely become the next, like, Damian Lillard, right? That's like, hey, like, a great player might never get it done, but will always be considered, you know, for a couple seasons in a row, like a top 10 or 15 guy, right? So absolutely. That's kind of what I look for with those guys, with Mitchell or even Booker now, right? It's a good example of, like, you know, just such an impressive player.
Exactly. Yeah. I would, when you said that, I went right to Top Shot and I filtered by Metallic Gold, and, you know, I look at Booker, Tatum, AD, I mean, AD's more established, Lillard, Donovan Mitchell, Simmons, you know, Westbrook. Westbrook is criminally undervalued for what he does. Jimmy Butler is in here, playoff Jimmy, De'Aaron Fox. I mean, those are all guys that these prices haven't been here in months. And it's a lot like something I said about ETH yesterday or this morning. If you liked it at 4,200, you should love it at 2,200.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? If you liked Donovan Mitchell at 8,500 a couple months ago, oh, you should be gobbling him up down here.
But there's the behavioral bias
in the market. Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, girl dad, you know what time it is if you've listened to the show before. It's time for Would You Rather. Are you ready to play? You know how it works.
I'm ready to play.
I'm going to give you two options and then you tell me which one. Would you rather, girl dad, somebody gift you a full hollow series one set, or somebody gift you the number one LeBron metallic gold series one? And the hollow set, just assume that they're just kind of random serials. They're none of them are number ones or jerseys. They're all just kind of whatever.
This goes a little bit against my strategy. I would take the full set. It gives you more flexibility. I feel like I could level up into premier serials if I wanted to. But that number one cereal, it just doesn't grab me like it grabs other people. Yeah, they're highly illiquid. Sure, if you find the right buyer one day, absolutely. Dingling, he's in his own league, and the strategy works for him. But chasing the cereal is not the way to go for me. I would much rather take the full holo set.
How do we know you're not also Dingling?
Because multi-accounters are not allowed.
That's fair. That's fair. That is fair. I think we'd make, I mean, I don't know if we make an exception for Ding-a-ling, but such a mystery,
Right?
that person. Yeah, we don't know who that is. Okay,
And
last one. Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
I'd be happy to show you my chat logs with Dingling,
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's a whole other podcast right there. I don't want to
so.
hear about. Okay, last one for you. Would you rather the number one cereal, or okay, whatever, let's go, the jersey, something that you like, of every single Top Shot debut moment, or you are one of the first 500 people into the NFL version of Top Shot?
If I was into the NFL version, are there any buying limits?
No, but you're person number 500. You're not in the first, you know what I mean? Like, there's 499 people that got in there before you, so they've been buying. When you arrive, for better or for worse, if you're number 500 into Top Shot, you still would have done very well with, you know, the way you approach it. And you are a football person first.
I would love early access to the NFL. That would be my answer. I could do some damage on the NFL.
Okay. Well, if it ever comes, if that ever happens, then I hope you get the call.
Yeah,
You know, I hope so for
Rohan,
you.
let's do this. I'll be happy to test it for you.
Yeah, I mean, that'd be great if they did pick that up. I mean, that is the big question, right? Is what's going to happen with those outstanding brands like NFL and, well, I mean, NHL. Nobody really cares about NHL, but even baseball, they got the tops, and who knows if they'll ever make a totally different thing, a different NFT. Girl Dad, it's been a pleasure, my man. Thank you for doing this.
It's been a pleasure as well. Thank you for having me.
And that is going to do it for today, folks. Hope you enjoyed that interview. If you want to find Girl Dad, he's at Girl Dad on Twitter. He's very prominent again in the Top Shot space. Otherwise, we will see you tomorrow night in person on YouTube and Twitch during the first mint.